All right, so we finished up with the woman that was caught in adultery. What was your biggest red flag about the that entire passage?
They didn't mention the guy.
Yeah, there's no mention of the guy involved. What's the second, maybe, or probably even the first big red flag that we discussed initially about the whole thing? Maybe at verse 52b, 53a of chapter 7. What was the other thing that we were kind of talking about? Anyone remember what that thing was? Many of y'all had a footnote in your Bible about it.
53 through 8:11 isn't included in the earliest manuscript.
Yeah, there are certain manuscripts that don't have it. But Tyler, do we have a problem with that?
No.
Why not?
Because it doesn't contradict any other teachings of Jesus.
Right, and it doesn't add any new teachings, right? Great. So now we're looking at verse 12. We'll probably get down through a couple verses this morning. Let's do through 20. And I need a volunteer to read. Anybody want to volunteer to read?
What verses? All right, last
week. 12 through 20. Nice and loud. All right, Anna, go for it.
Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing no witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not alone who I judge. And I and the Father who sent me, in your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, "Therefore, where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come.
All right, so hopefully you were listening as Anna read through that. Let's hit a couple contextual details. Where are we? Let's just kind of get the who, what, when, where of our passage now. Because remember, John kind of jumps around. Where are we? Yeah, I know we're in John chapter 8. I mean, where is Jesus when he speaks?
The treasury.
Okay, the treasury. Where is this treasury, Iris? You can clear all that. What verse did you find treasury in, Iris?
Verse 20.
Okay, verse 20. So he's in the treasury. What's a treasury?
Money chamber.
Yeah, like a money chamber. Okay, so great. Where is this room that is a treasury? Okay, good. He's in the temple. All right. Now, Blake, since you told us he's in the temple, what's an obvious shift now between 8, 1 through 11 and 12, or and 8, 12 through 20? Yeah, we're now in the temple. So without any transition whatsoever, we went from Jesus being outside somewhere, being able to draw in the dirt, to now he's inside the treasury of the temple. All right, so we got the where. So we know then what city are we in, Zach?
Jerusalem.
Yeah, we're in Jerusalem because we're inside the temple. All right, what other details can we get a hold of? Just the who, what, the when, the where.
Jesus.
All right, we got Jesus. Who else is in the room? All right, Jesus and Pharisees are in the room. Any other people in the room? Is that it?
Mine says he spoke again to the people.
Okay, he spoke again to the people. So there would be some type of audience. Yeah. All right, any other details on the who, what, when, where? So we can get the visual in our minds before we start talking about the nitty-gritty of what Jesus says.
It was not his hour of death
yet. Okay, where are you getting this?
20.
Okay, in verse 20?
But no one sees him because his hour is not yet.
Okay, so now, all right, let's walk through the logic behind this. Blake just told us nobody arrested him because his time hadn't come yet. What then does that mean for the context of 12 through 20? What was the desire to happen? Someone else. What?
That they would seize him.
Okay, so whatever he said was enough that these people, Brian, wanted to arrest Jesus, right? But did they? Okay, so he clearly ticked off the Pharisees in his comments. Okay, anything else? So the Pharisees are agitated. They want to arrest him. And the whole reason on why he can't be arrested or he's not arrested is why, Blake?
Because it's not his hour.
Because it's not his hour. His time had not yet come. All right, any other details to kind of give us the setting of these words that he's about to say? Anything? We'll get into what he says, but I kind of wanted us to set the stage so we know where we are, because let's be honest. I'll just make a facetious example. So when Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper, he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Well, if he's in an upper room where they're celebrating the Passover, that gives us one context. If Jesus is standing out at the dumpster with all the garbage, isn't that a little bit of a different context? So where you are changes what the words mean. You know, it's like, wait, what do you want me to do? Okay, so that's helpful. Now, let's back up to verse 12. I think we got a good grasp on the concept, the context. All right, what's the first thing Jesus says?
I am the light of the world.
All right, do we need to address that whole thing, or do we break it down even smaller? What? No, what did you say?
I am who I am.
Why did you say that, Sierra?
I don't know, it just popped in my head.
It popped in your head for a reason.
He said it once, but I don't remember it.
Who's the he that said?
Huh?
Who is the he that said it once?
God and Moses. Or not, was it Moses? It was Moses in the burning bush.
Okay, so Sierra just took us back to Exodus. Chapters 1 and 2 before he goes in. And Sierra, what did you just point out to us?
In the burning bush, he was like, I am who I am.
Yeah, Moses asked God, who do I say sent me? And he says, I am that I am sent you. Now, we see the word I am. What name of God is that? Do you know the name of God, Sam? What's the name of God?
Is he here?
Huh? The name of God, Sam. That's what I want to know. His name.
God.
No, his name. Get off the phone. Okay. Moses asked him, who do I say sent me? And he said, she says, I am that I am. I want to know, what's his name?
Yahweh.
Okay. So now we got the name. Whew. Okay, so I am is what? It's Yahweh. All right, where are we? Help me out here, Robert. Old Testament. When I read the original manuscripts and stuff, and I go looking at them, what language are those in? Yeah. Your Old Testament is predominantly in what language? Yeah, what's the Jewish language?
What's it called?
Mm-hmm. Help him out, Zach. Early. It's in Hebrew. All right, so your Old Testament's in Hebrew. Okay. Malachi, is your New Testament in the same language?
No.
All right, so what's the New Testament language in then?
Greek.
All right, Greek. Okay. So are they're not the same then?
No.
So I can't go looking in my New Testament for the word Yahweh, can I? Well, that idea is just translation. The Septuagint would be the book, if that's what you're asking.
When it translates Yahweh, it says the Lord, so it just puts Dominique, so it's the Lord. They don't translate it as Yahweh.
Yeah? Do we go look? Should we go look, Blake? All right, well, let's do this. Yeah, go to Blue Letter Bible. Barry, how's your Hebrew? little rusty. Do you know how to write the Tetragrammaton? Yod Heh Vav Heh?
The YHWH?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Do it in English, and then let's go to the new side, because we'll... All right, so where do we need to go, guys? Let's go nerdy for a minute on this. Where do I need to go, Blake? You told me to go somewhere. You told me the Septuagint, but you didn't tell me where in the Septuagint.
Somewhere where it refers to Yahweh.
Okay, where does it refer to Yahweh?
Exodus, right?
All right, let's go to Exodus then. Where do we go in Exodus? Do you know any key chapters in Exodus? Hopefully you know at least one. Okay, well hopefully you know Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments, that's going to be the law that comes after the Exodus. So we need to be before there. Alright, so where do we need to go? Chapter 3? Starting where?
That's where that.
Hey, you geese. Back there by that computer monitor is a TV remote. Will you get it for me? On that shelf right behind the keyboard. Is there a TV remote? Yep. Yeah, for Roku? Yep. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right, Blake, did we find a verse in 3?
3:14.
All right.
It says, I am who I am. But,
all right, so Blake, you're reading I am that I am in 3:14.
Yes, Tyler's currently pulling out John 8:12.
8:12 puts it, I am as two separate words, not
I am
the same phrase.
Okay.
Where is that in Exodus 3:14? The second one?
Hey, Yuri, can you do me a favor? On that box up there, push each button one time. There are 4 buttons. Yeah, go from 1 to 2. The little green light will go from 1 to 2. Yuri, we missed one. It's on 2? They're all on 2? Okay. That might be me.
Come on, get it.
Apparently it's just not going to connect. Okay. All right, well, while this is coming up, all right, Blake, in 314, you said 314 is where we need to go? All right, so in Exodus 314, what did you find for us? All right, God says, I am that I am, and you said it's in all caps.
Yes, and then the footnote says, for I am what I am, or I will be what I will be.
Okay.
What is it in Greek?
Great question.
One second, I just asked you
that. I was hoping my phone would attach to my system for the whole thing, but apparently not. Does anyone do the TV?
So the Greek for it, the Greek word.
It's Greek words.
Is Greek to
Haya, Easter, and then Haya again.
Yeah, hold on, buddy.
Are you taking the Greek class?
Yeah, all right. So
it's not even connected.
I'll try one more time. All right, here we go. Hey guys, so I know not all of you will be able to see this. Where'd you go? Alright, there we go. Alright, sorry about that. If you all will, hey, let's take a moment and look at this real quick. Sorry you guys can't see as well. So, the key, what we're looking for is this I am. Sierra took us this I am who I am, or I am that I am. Alright, and so what we want to find out, we mentioned that this came in Hebrew, okay? So, when we consider that for just a moment, let's go with our initial name of God. All right. Which is Haya Aser, okay, and then Haya. Okay, now Blake, you took us to another name, right?
I did.
What was your other verse you want us to go to?
That was
huh? Sorry, what was that other what other verse?
Well, I was just making an observation. John 8:12 has I am as two separate words. It doesn't refer to my name.
Okay.
I'm looking at it.
So you were, sorry, so you went to John.
I think what you were saying was the part where he says before Moses was I am.
Yeah.
Right. So when Moses asked, I want you guys to see this, okay? So when Moses, God says to Moses, I am who I am. So I'm going to tap on that verse in this, and I'm looking at interlinear, which is going to compare English to Hebrew for us. All right, so we see we got our Hayam Haser. Okay, the name of God will become known as the Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, which in our transliterated language, it's a YHWH. Okay, but remember, we're looking at the New Testament, which we said was in what language? It's in Greek. So we're going to come up here, and I've got this Septuagint now. And now I'm going to do the Septuagint, same idea. Now, you're not going to get this until I show it to you in John. I'll show it to you in John, but I want you to see what this is. Okay, Barry, we'll write these down.
Okay.
So, it's the ego I mean. So, ego I mean is what it is in English. All right, is at least how we pronounce it. You can see the numbers are 1473 and 1510. This is Exodus 3:14. You guys tracking with me?
Yeah.
When Moses asked God, what's your name? And here's how I want you, you can write these numbers down, Barry, so that way we can remember them. When Moses asked God, what's your name? He said, stay with me, 1473, 1510. Got it? Just memorize, remember those numbers. Okay, now that we have those numbers, I'm going to go back to John. Where am I going in John? Down to 8:12. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now I'm going to go into my interlinear because I want to compare English and Greek again. And here we go. Again, then, to them, he spoke, Jesus saying, and look what Jesus says to them. 1473, 1510, the light of the world. Okay? So, when Moses asked God, what's your name? He says in the Greek, ego I me. Jesus standing here in John 8, when he says to speak to them, he says, ego I me, the light of the world. It's the exact same words. Now, that sets the conditions for why they want to arrest him. He just claimed the name of God for himself. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All right, now let's take this on a Hebrew context. Anything in your Old Testament where there would be a light in the darkness, and there would be following of that light. What about desert? Oh, a pillar of fire by night. Wait a second. Blake, so you're suggesting that Moses with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, you're comparing those to Jesus now saying, I'm the light of the world. Okay? If that's the case, then what would be true? Okay, he's the messenger of God that he has sent. Okay. What does that... So, Abby, you told us what that would mean in John 8. What would that mean in John... Or excuse me, what would that mean in Exodus with the pillar of fire? What would it mean, Blake? That Jesus is the one leading them through the wilderness. Which makes a whole lot of sense, because your reference that you found, was that the Abraham? That's before Abraham was, I am? How is Jesus going to claim that? Okay, so he's got some fighting words he's already thrown out. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What is the current Jewish mindset for how they receive the light of life, if you will? How do they get that? Okay, following all the laws and the sacrifices. And Jesus says, no, you can follow me. Okay, so what's the natural response then? The Pharisees then say what to Jesus? Go look at your Bible. We're in John 8 now.
Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid.
All right. If you are appearing as your own witness, your testimony is not valid. Someone that hasn't talked yet today, what kind of witness testimony did you need for it to be considered true in the Jewish mindset?
Two or more.
Yeah, two or more. Thank you. Good job, Sarah. So you needed two or three witnesses in the Jewish society in order for your testimony to be either counted as true or for you to be put to guilt about anything. How does this happen? Okay, well, let's see what plays next. If you're the witness about yourself, the testimony's not true. How does Jesus respond? Someone read verse 14 for us.
Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell me whence I come and whither I go.
All right, what? Could you kind of like paraphrase that for me, Robert?
He said, "What I'm saying is true, and he knows where he came from, and he knows where he's going, and nobody else can tell him where he came from.
Okay. So there's some ambiguity about who he is, right? There's some unknown. All right, but he doesn't leave it there and just say, "Look, even if my testimony," he says, "even if my testimony of myself was it, what else? You don't know," Robert just pointed out, "you don't know where I'm coming from or where I'm going. Like, you're clueless on this, Pharisees." Now, he turns it on them, and what does he say to these Pharisees in verse 15?
"You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one."
All right. So he's like, wait a second, pause. When were the witnesses needed? When are these witnesses being utilized? Yeah, when they're persecuting or prosecuting someone. Okay? In a court of law, they're judging, right? You need these witnesses to judge. Is Jesus casting a judgment?
No.
So he turns it on its head and says, look, you guys are the ones who judge. I'm not actually judging anyone. So look at how Jesus frames his arguments. In verse 14, he said, even if I do bear witness about myself, it's true. And then we get to verse 15. You guys are the judges. I'm not judging anyone. Verse 16 says, yet even if I did judge, it'd be true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Well, now we get to his witness idea. What's his witness? Where does he take us in the witnesses? Someone read verse 17. Caden, will you get that one for us?
17?
Yes, sir.
It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true.
All right. So who are the two people then? Jesus says, if two people say it's true, then it's true. I said it's true. Who's the other witness?
The Father.
Why do you say that?
Because he said that.
Where does he say that, Zach?
Verse 18. Or
go ahead, read it.
16. He says, yet, even if I do judge, my judgment is true, but it is not I the one who judge, but I am the Father who judge.
Okay, keep reading. Read through 18.
In your law, it is true that the testimony of two people is true. I'm the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me.
All right, Zach, so who are the two witnesses?
The Father and Jesus.
The Father and Jesus. So therefore they say, Nathaniel, where is your Father? And what's Jesus' response?
You don't know my Father.
What's he say, Nathaniel?
You don't know my Father.
You don't know my dad. Now, why can he say, you don't know my dad? Okay. Megan, what do you think? Why can Jesus look at these people and say, you don't know my Father? Just read the rest of the verse and then figure out how you answer my question with that. All right, so Jesus looks at him and says, you don't know my dad. Why does he say that to them? Yeah, you don't believe me. If you don't believe me, you don't know my dad. It's that simple. And these words, he spoke to them while he's in the treasury in the temple. And no one arrests him, even though they want to. Why? Because his hour hadn't come yet. So, there's no shortage of studies And we will come across them again, even in chapter 8. But that, I'd love you guys to memorize that concept of the I am, because Jesus will say I am multiple times. And every time he says I am, he's telling you something about who he is. Not just in a descriptive way, but also in this is God. And he is claiming identity with the Father when he says I am. Okay? Make sense? All right. We'll pick up next time.